B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Ready from the Tom Pierce Tire Studio, Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. An hour to go here. And this has to irk a handful of you Patriots fans, maybe more than a handful, right? I mean, we're looking at 60 degrees today, 60 degrees tomorrow, unseasonably great. This is what I hope winters are now, by the way. Keep the snow up north, the hell with that. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with the cold. But, boy, wouldn't this be perfect day drinking weather, getting ready for the divisional playoff game as you get ready to host, the Kansas City Chiefs. That's what should have happened if you didn't drop that game to the Miami Dolphins a few weeks back, Chris. Instead, they lose that one. They play last Saturday night to the Tennessee Titans, and even though I had signed the Declaration of Doneness, which is over there on the table, I had signed that after the back-to-back losses to Houston and Kansas City. I still didn't think that they would lose last week to the Tennessee Titans, but here we are for the first time in forever, the Patriots not playing divisional weekend. Does feel weird.
It is a little strange, right?
Yeah, it does. I was so...
It's like, it feels like, you know, when you leave the house and you're like, oh, I forgot something. That's what it feels like.
Oh, that's what last... I mean, you did the pregame as you did all season and have been for the last week heading into the game. And then the postgame last week, I was like, I shouldn't even be here. I felt like it was the clip I was playing from Clerks when we did the show last week. Like, I shouldn't even be here today. Like, slumming it on wild card weekend. And more than anything else, I just didn't even think they would have lost that game. I thought the Titans were all right, but, you know, I was going through some of their wins since Tannehill took over, and they've been a good story, but they squeak in, and even it was like a fake win in the end of the season where they play, the JV squad of the Houston Texans. As much as I didn't believe in the Patriots, I never thought they were going to end up losing last week. I thought they'd end up killing that team, and Ryan Tannehill would end up having, he ended up having a game that he had. Only 15 attempts. It was all a matter of time before he made a mistake or two, and he did. It wasn't just the pick. He put the ball on the ground a couple of times.
That's right, yeah, and they were lucky enough to get those fumbles back. That's a good point, Jim.
But, man, they got run all over to the tune of almost 200 yards by Derrick Henry, who's like a human freight train. And the defense, you know what? It was just a microcosm of all the bad things of the Patriots in one night. So here we are. They're not playing. So you have the slate of the games this weekend. And before we get to what you wrote about Tom Brady in the Boston Globe, which is now up bostonglobe.com, and I don't know if it's in the tactile paper today or tomorrow, but either way, you can read it when it's in front of you. Your thoughts on the slate of games this weekend? Do you have much interest, or are you just kind of like going to have it on in the background as wallpaper because the Patriots aren't in this?
No, I mean, I have some interest. I'm interested in seeing Jimmy G today against the Vikings. I think the first game's a fascinating game. I think both quarterbacks still have something to prove. Kirk Cousins definitely proved something in that victory over the Saints in overtime. And when I look at Jimmy G and the way that team has played, do you know that there are only three quarterbacks in 49ers history that have had a season with a passer rating over 100, and that it's Joe Montana, Steve Young, and Jimmy G?
One of these things is not like the other. One of these things does not belong.
But do you also know he had 18 turnovers this year?
Oh, boy, I do.
18 turnovers this year. And he had a lot of ones that basically could have been, you know, fumbles that he ended up getting back. His 18 turnovers, the same amount of turnovers that one Andy Dalton had this year.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've tried to throughout the week, I tried talking myself into a Vikings upset, and I thought that was a great story last week. That team goes in there. Nobody gave them the chance. They were the biggest underdog of the weekend last week, but they go into New Orleans, stun them. Kirk Cousins does the unthinkable to me. I didn't think he had that in him on that overtime drive. It was all, you know, I figured it was all a matter of time before he threw a pick six or a bad turnover, or that team was just going to quickly go 3-0. But after that bomb to Thielen, it's like, holy crap, they're going to win this game. And Kirk Cousins actually didn't do the Kirk Cousins thing. They were great against the run. They kept Kamara in check. So, you know, that's the calling card of the Niners offense. It's not Jimmy G. It's, their ability to run the ball as well as they do. And
Mostert.
And a real innovative playbook, the way that they mix in Juszczyk, the fullback, and they have, I think, the best player in football on the tight end.
Yeah, George Kittle's awesome.
Oh, my God. He's a beast. He's Gronk 2.0.
And they made this great trade for this wide receiver during the what's that guy's name?
Yeah.
I think I've mentioned him once or twice.
Yeah, Emmanuel Sanders. Turns out he was the better play rather than Muhammad Sanu, who was garbage. So I've tried to talk myself into this. Maybe Garoppolo makes a mistake or two. I just I can't do it. Like, we're looking at these games, Chris. I think it's going to end up being chalk. I really don't see any upsets this weekend. I don't.
So I have to be honest. I was leaning Vikings. I was going to pick the upset, but this Adam Thielen situation has me a little bit shook. Where he got stepped on in practice, and they're saying like, well, they thought it was close enough to his Achilles. They had to check it out, and
he immediately grabbed for it to see if it was still attached.
Yeah, that's not good. And he's been banged up all year, so I don't know. The other thing is, as a Florida State fan, Dalvin Cook went to Florida State, and you saw this last week against New Orleans. Now, one of these was overturned. He has a little bit of a fumble habit in big games.
Really? He
fumbled four times in the national championship semifinal against Oregon the day after I got married.
Yeah. Well, you remember that like you're scarred by it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I'd set up the whole, I mean, coincidentally, there was a day between our marriage and honeymoon that happened to coincide with the college football playoff, and yeah, we got stomped by Oregon, and he fumbled four times.
Yeah, and Tennessee, I think, you know, I think how I felt about them, I think, they, you know, they, I think that, and that comes home tonight with them. Like, you know, they
do you give them any shot against the Ravens?
I really don't.
That defense is pretty good.
Yeah, and then maybe you're going to see some rust with the Ravens tonight because, you know, you didn't have any of their starters,
no,
including Lamar Jackson, played
Ingram's
last week
hurt.
Of the season.
Ingram's hurt.
And Andrews, the tight end, who's a stud, got beat up, you know, towards the end of the season. But still, I think Tannehill ends up killing them. I know the defense is all right. They might cover. I look at it. I can't talk myself into any upsets. And I think the worst of the four is going to be this Kansas City-Houston game. And
okay.
I get it. Houston went in there earlier in the season.
Yeah, they won that game.
Week three or week four. And they won that game. And I want the best for Deshaun Watson. I think he's more underwhelming at times, and I thought that play, that big third down play where he had two guys, you know, that had him sacked, and he got out of it. That was more about those idiots not wrapping him up than anything else.
Really?
Isn't that, yeah,
that was a great play.
Yeah,
the guy's a winner going back to college.
I know. I think they're coached by a moron in Bill O'Brien.
That's a little rough on Billy. I mean, I wouldn't say he's a moron.
He tried everything in his power to give that game away last week. And the fact he was going up against the Buffalo Bills with their horrific history is what ended up catching up with them. I can't talk myself into any upsets is what I'm getting to, Chris.
You are really down on Houston.
Oh, I think they suck. I really do. I think that team sucks. Outside of Watson, who I is a joy to watch for the most part. I do. And Hopkins,
you're not swayed at all that Will Fuller's back and what their offense has done when Fuller's in there?
Nah, not really. You know, he's banged up. I don't see him last in the game.
And Kansas City's down one of their starting safeties in Juan Thornhill out for the year?
No, I think Kansas City's going to kill them. I think that game's going to be like 35-10 or something
all right,
like that.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like it's going to be a high-scoring game, but a closer game.
I hope you're right. Look, I would love to be wrong, you know, because if anything, I would. My dream is a Super Bowl at this point. I'm going to root for the Vikings today. Like, I want them to upset the Niners and make Garoppolo look like a complete fool. I want to be right about Garoppolo.
I'm torn because, you know, that's a good landing spot for Tom. But on the other hand, I'd like to see Jimmy G lose this game.
But for spite, you know, I love the sports schadenfreude. Yeah. And, you know, whatever people are rooting for, screw that. That's what I'm against. Like, the dream Super Bowl, Chris, is it's like, you know, it's the Vikings in Tennessee or something like that. Like,
oh,
you know,
really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Screw it. Oh, no, I want Baltimore versus the Niners. And it's the quarterback the Patriots missed in Lamar Jackson. And they took Sony Michel instead against Garoppolo, who should have been the future. Like, screw your narratives. No, I...
You want chaos.
I want chaos, and I want, you know, I like the underdog story. And Kirk Cousins,
interesting,
shoving it down everyone's throat last week, and all the doubters, myself included, and, you know, he does, you like that all over again. Like, that'd be a good story, too. Like, I'd love to see two underdogs make it, because it's been chalk for too long now. Yeah. We haven't seen any wild card team make the Super Bowl and win the damn thing since the Ravens did it in 2013.
Yeah, I was just
or 2012.
2012, I was going to say, going back to 2013, not only that, going back to 2013, and I remember this stat, every Super Bowl participant has had the benefit of the bye.
Yeah.
And so that's an amazing stat. And then you have, you know, the six seeds winning. And I think when you look at this, it's pretty cool to see what's happened here in this playoffs. And it would be really interesting if it were Vikings, Titans. I don't think that's going to happen. I will say this, on that Baltimore-Tennessee game, I think that Vrabel and Pease will have some sort of game plan. That doesn't mean they're going to slow Lamar Jackson down completely, but I think the game plan will be comprehensive between the offense and the defense. You know, some of the time-wasting tactics he used against the Patriots. I think they're going to try and slow. Remember 2008 when the Patriots played the Colts and they really slowed it down offensively to try and keep Peyton Manning off the field. I think you're going to see something like that. They're going to try and limit possessions in that game, and I would not be surprised if that game ends, if the winner of that game ends up being in the low 20s.
You're talking, that was the Matt Castle year, right? You're talking,
it was the Matt Castle year.
The Colts win that game like 15-10 or something like that?
It was like something like ridiculous. It was a brilliant game plan by Bill, but it was basically the whole thing was predicated on offense and defense married together to limit the amount of possessions that this guy gets. And I think they'll do the same. And I also think, you know, Lamar Jackson didn't play well in the playoffs last year. To be clear, I think Baltimore's going to win, but I think there might
closer
be
a closer game than people expect.
Yeah, I think so. And I think there might be a little anxiety there, and he might try and do a little too much early. And if Ingram's not healthy, I think that's a difference maker from a standpoint of you're defending Baltimore. It's like when they run some of those plays, some of those zone read plays, it's like, well, screw Gus Edwards and the running back. We're just going to play Jackson. You know, because I mean, Edwards is a nice player, but he can't hurt you like Ingram.
Do you have an ideal Super Bowl matchup that you're hoping for?
I hadn't really thought of it until you mentioned it. Let me think about this. Maybe like, I don't know. Maybe like Kansas City, Seattle.
That wouldn't be bad. Another one in terms of, if I was the lead.
I just like Seattle, so I just like Russell Wilson.
Yeah, he's a dork off the field, but he's a joy to watch.
Oh, God. Did you ever see them? They did that mic'd up with him?
Oh, God,
we watched that, and even my wife, who loves Russell Wilson, thinks he's like the hottest thing, you know, on wheels. Was pretty much like, oh, he's kind of a dork.
There was something, I think it was from Pro Football. It was from Pro Football Talk today that said there's story has come out that he quizzes his wide receivers and tight ends about like roots and stuff after each game. Like get away from me, nerd! Like, we'll talk about this when we watch the film during the week when we're at work. Like, please, enough. Like, I've done extracurricular activities.
It wasn't even that. It was just, he's like, let's go, man. Let's go.
No,
just
it
like,
always feels so forced.
Yeah, it was just the cheerleading. I was like, oh, man, you're married to Ciara. Like, you're supposed to be cooler than this.
If I was the league, one of the things I'd be rooting for in terms of, you know, it being the 100th anniversary of the NFL.
Okay.
You have a repeat of Super Bowl I.
Oh, yes. Kansas City, Green Bay.
Kansas City, Green Bay, I think
That's
would be a good
great
story.
Call, Jim. I
first
heard
Super Bowl,
say that.
100 years of the NFL. You're celebrating that. Like, that kind of puts a nice little
and then all the players should go out the night before like Max McGee and get drunk. Like, can't see straight drunk.
But I it's been years. You mentioned, like, it's all these teams have benefited from the bye since 2013. And before that, you had a handful of years where you had six seeds, five seeds going to the Super Bowl and actually winning the thing. The Ravens, that 2010 Packers team, I think, might have been a six seed that year. A
couple of Giants teams.
Couple of Giants teams in there as well. Pittsburgh Steelers, I think, in 2009, they also were a wild card team. So I'd like to kind of go back to that. I mean, if the Patriots are going to be there and they're not going to be playing divisional weekend like they're not this week, like, I want a little bit more chaos, because it has been chalk. It has been pretty predictable.
So I have to ask you this, because you've said this in the past when we've done the show. You said this is your favorite weekend of the year, sports-wise. You love these divisional games, don't you?
Yeah.
You're not feeling it, huh?
Well, no, because the Pats aren't in it. It's just...
But I thought it was your favorite just because of the football.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
You fraud. Fraud. You've oversold this.
I'm not super pumped about any of these games. I've tried to talk myself into them.
You're going to go home and binge that Apple TV show. You're not even going to watch these games.
No, I'm all caught up. The wife and I have already watched all of the morning show, which is good, and I can't recommend it enough. And then this new M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong show that he's got, Servant. Yeah. Oh, it's excellent. Oh, I love a psychological thriller. But
you guys binged that whole show?
We're all caught up on that, too. We got nothing left. So I am forced to watch these games.
So you are going to watch
these games. Yeah, no, I'll watch them. But my interest level isn't what it normally would be.
You always were so excited. You were like, this is my favorite weekend. I love it. It's the best weekend of the season.
Because the Pats are always there. And now they're not. And
so what you're really saying, Jim, is you'd rather have us be doing this show today, like we are, and then you'd rather report to Foxborough tonight, because, of course, they'd have the Saturday night slot. Mm. You'd rather be doing that than what you're doing right now.
Yes. All right, with that, we got to get to your column, because I do think it's a bombshell small b, because the talk has been to Tom Brady in terms of what he was going to do this offseason. It's a coin flip between retirement and maybe trying to find a new home and a new team, and then precipitous drop off returning to the Patriots. Chris now has it. Tom Brady's preference has to be staying with the Patriots. That is the title of his new column in the Boston Globe. We'll get to that next here on 98.5.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Play action, Cousins. Thielen, he's got it! Inside the five. The ball sitting at the 2 yards away from a win.
I got 3 words for you. You like that?
Yeah, And I didn't think Kirk Cousins had that in him, so good for them. And I'd love to be wrong. The Vikings go in and beat the Niners today. I don't know. I've talked myself out of that. I do think it's going to end up being chalk all weekend here in divisional weekend. No Patriots, though, which sucks. It's Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. While I had signed the Declaration of Doneness, I didn't expect them to make the Super Bowl, Chris. I certainly expect them to beat Tennessee Titans last week and be playing this weekend in Kansas City, but that's not happening either.
Well, my understanding is that a lot of the people at Howl at the Moon felt that you were directly responsible for this exit, this premature exit.
Yeah, the first 5 minutes after last week's game wrapped up.
A little harrowing?
Beadle and I thankfully had a little bit of protection thanks to our street teamer, Dan. People, little hot, don't like that Declaration of Doneness. But what can I say? I mean, it was forged from the heavens. It was placed in front of me when I woke up one morn, and it had to be signed. And I make no apologies for that. So, yeah, a lot of people real angry before they got on the rainy roads back home after last week's hideous loss. So now we have the offseason, Chris, what yes. I believe is going to be the most fascinating offseason in Patriots history, at least in the last 20 years here. So where's Tom Brady going to play? And Chris Casper, to my left, who writes in the Boston Globe, he starts his column, Tom Brady's preference has to be staying with Patriots. As follows, we know Tom Brady is going to play in 2020. His Instagram declaration made that clear. We don't know where he's going to play, and at this point, neither does he. But there's good news, Patriots fans. Reading the Tom Tea Leaves, which you can buy at TB12 for $59.99, it feels as if his first choice is to return to Foxborough. Why the change? What do you know? What can you tell us?
Yeah, I just think, again, for a lot of the season, what was sort of coming out of that camp was that 20 years is a long time to be in one place, maybe some interest in trying to do it somewhere else, some frustration with the Patriots not making a commitment to him. But now you're sort of in a situation where I think personally and professionally, after some time to cool off, some time away from the season, he's come to realize that if he's going to continue to do this thing, the easiest way to do it is to just stay here. And when you're 42 years old and we're all this way, you and I are both older and you become more resistant to change and it's harder to adapt. And I think that factors into this too. Tom is a regimented guy and he has an organization that maybe is not giving him everything he wants, but it's sort of set up in a certain way. And if you leave the nest, there's a lot of unknown there. Sometimes, as they say, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. And yeah. I think there's a lot of that here.
Another way to put it is, despite his maniacal work ethic and that his favorite championship is the next one and all of that and all the great things about Tom Brady, at his heart, he's still kind of a 40-year-old schlub. And it's easier to acquiesce than to go out and try to find something different.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, exactly. Well said, Jim. I wish I'd written that.
So, and I understand that. And look, and change can be difficult, but it just feels like, when a relationship looks like it's frayed, and I do think that it is frayed between him and just everything, it just feels like if it looks like how it looked this year, and there's an air of resentment emanating from Tom Brady, which was as evident as quickly as, week three that they went to Buffalo and they win that game, and afterwards Brady's acting like they lost. It was like, what the hell's going on here,
week
Tom?
Four, but same difference.
But when it happens that fast, and it kind of, that sustains throughout the season, I don't know if it's going to change. So while it's easier to stay, and I get it, all Patriots fans would love for him to stay, and it would feel so weird to see him retire in another uniform. I don't know if that, I truly believe that doesn't, taint the legacy or anything
like that. No, it doesn't.
But, if it's not going to change here all that much, even if he gets the years and it's a comp to what Drew Brees' last contract was, 2 years, $50 million, it's guaranteed, and he deserves that. But if it's not going to change in terms of personnel, is it going to change in terms of how he feels? I don't think so. So why not try something different? At the very least, do you think now from what from talking to sources and how, there's been a change here, does this mean he's not going to take calls from other teams?
No, I don't think it means that. But I think that means there's a window here for the Patriots to get this done before he becomes a free agent.
Okay. So that means that all three parties have to be on the same page. That's easier said than done.
It really is. And I think here's the issue, and we talked about this a little bit on Felger and Maz. I think that one thing that hasn't changed is I think Bill Belichick is going to have the primary call on this. And he's going to have to give in a little bit to Tom to get this done. But here's where it gets sort of interesting. I think that Bill looks at it and says, well, Tom's always given in to us on these contract things. He'll acquiesce because he always does. I'll get him on another 1-year deal because Bill really prizes that flexibility. You know, I know that for a fact. And on the other side of it, I think Tom looks at it and says, well, even if Bill doesn't want to give this to me, I've always done my deals with Robert. I know Robert is sort of hands off here the last couple of years, but when push comes to shove and I'm about to walk out the door, he won't let me go. He'll come in and overrule Bill. So it's kind of like this three-sided negotiation where everybody's waiting for somebody else to give in. And I think, you know, ownership overall would like to not, you know, they'll play the Felger role. They'd like to facilitate, but probably not really express their opinion of what they ultimately want to happen.
Well, it's like an old-timey standoff. Who's going to blink first?
Exactly.
And I just wonder, though, if, you know, based on what you read and hear of what have happened with certain negotiations in you know, last handful of years with this team behind the scenes, like with Jimmy Garoppolo and with Rob Gronkowski. So it felt like to me, based on what you hear and read, that, well, the owner ends up basically going over Bill's head for those two moves. So how are you going to feel if you're Belichick if that happens again with, no, I'm not letting Tom Brady go anywhere else. He has to retire as a Patriot. And based on some of the stuff that Kraft said last week to Peter King, it feels like he and ownership are also kind of trying to push away from the table and put it in Bill's hands too. The way it's already shaping up, look, it'd be great. And it'd be great for the whole thing to come full circle and Tom to retire a Patriot. I just think that, I don't know. I think there's still someone's going to end up with hurt feelings here. And
yeah, well, I mean, the column I wrote before this, just a bunch of Patriot thoughts on the season. For him to come back here, there's going to have to be a compromise. And I think someone is going to end up feeling resentful at the end of the day if it happens.
And the way that looked this year with Brady anyway, it felt like there was, again, the air of resentment out of him from.
But you know what I say, Jim? Winning is the ultimate deodorant. And if they all come back.
Won this year. Throughout the regular season, he was still pissed.
But if you end up winning, but he knew that team couldn't win a championship. You know, if they have a team that feels like it can win a championship and they go deep in the playoffs or, you know, they win a seventh, then it's all good.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, I hope you're right. I do. Like,
but just because it's his preference, that doesn't mean it's going to happen. Yeah. That's the thing. You know, it's not just his control. And I will say this, you know, this thing is fluid. So it's like, you know, he starts having a discussion with Bill, and Bill's like, well, Tom, we'd love to have you back 1 year, $14 million. Then the whole thing flips again, you know?
Well, as you write here, and one of the things that has to you know, favor Brady if he is to come back is, you know, putting better players around him.
Yeah.
And I like what you write here. Belichick is like the spouse who waits until the last minute to buy a holiday gift and just snags whatever is available on the shelves at a discount store without checking for damage. There has to be a more comprehensive plan than scooping up reclamation projects such as Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown at the last minute. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that would be kind of a sticking point. If I'm Brady, like, okay, you're going to give me the years, which I think is more important than the money. The commitment's more important than the money. But what are you going to surround me with? And are you going to actually draft the tight end? Is there a succession plan after Gronk? Because there clearly wasn't this year.
Yeah, I mean, Austin Hooper and Hunter Henry are two potential free agent tight ends. Maybe they go after one of those guys. Who knows what happens there? But I do want to go over these numbers that are relative that speak to the issues he had this year. This is from ESPN.
Okay.
Brady completed 59.3% of his passes to wide receivers this season. That's his lowest since 2004. In the championship game, in the wild card loss to the Titans, 7 of 20 targeting wide receivers, 4 of 15 to guys not named Julian Edelman at the wide receiver position in that loss. Another stat, according to Sharp Football Stats, great website, Patriots finished the season with the league's lowest percentage of targets to tight ends, 9%. That was lower than the Arizona Cardinals, 9. The league average was 21%. That's what he's working with.
Say that again.
The tight end thing? They finished with the league's lowest percentage of targets to a tight end. 9% of their targets went to a tight end. The league average was 21%.
Wow. And look, it's obviously a special case with Rob Gronkowski, but think of how much their offense is predicated on using the tight end in recent years. And it's 9%,
9%,
and the average was 21%
correct.
This year. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. So that's what he was working with.
Yeah, so that is the kind of thing that needs to change if Brady is to acquiece and come back here. But that is, I think it's a small B bombshell, maybe a big B bombshell, after all that's been said here in recent weeks leading into the end of the season, that what's Brady going to do in the offseason? Either retire or go to a new team. And then the last possible option would be Brady coming back to the Patriots. Now, Gasper writes, Brady's preference has to be staying with the Patriots. There's been a change here. So your thoughts, 617-779-0985. We'll get to you next here on Gasper Murray 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom, do you have a sense of whether you'll be back with the Patriots in 2020, and do you want to be back with the Patriots in 2020?
I love the Patriots. I mean, they obviously, you know, they got it's the greatest organization, and, you know, playing for Mr. Kraft all these years, and for Coach Belichick, I mean, there's, you know, there's nobody who's had a better career, I would say, than me, just being with them. So I'm very blessed, and I don't know what the future looks like.
All right, so that was Tom Brady after the loss last Saturday night to the Tennessee Titans. You don't know what the future looks like. But Chris Gasper has an inkling. Tom Brady's preference has to be staying with the Patriots. Let's see. No, this is what he writes in the Boston Globe today. Read it at bostonglobe.com. So that's going to make you feel pretty good, even though the Patriots aren't playing on this weekend for the first time in, well, it's 10 years, right?
It's been, yeah, it's 10 years.
Ugh.
Oh, by the way, did you know the 71 net yards passing were the fewest by a team that won a playoff game since?
Oh, the Baltimore Ravens in 09?
Joe Flacco had 34 net yards.
I mean, that Tannehill performance really was Joe Flacco.
It really was.
To steal a line from Beadle, he was saying in the postgame, it's perfect. You know, there was 15 attempts from Tannehill that night, and it felt like five too many. It really did. Like, they started putting the ball a little more in his hands that second half. It's like, you idiots, you're going to cost yourself the game, and they almost did.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Tom in Newton, you're next here on Gasper Murray. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, hey, guys. I got a take for you on Bill Belichick, but real quick before I get to that, Joe Judge's press conference in New York the other day, I mean, the speech he gave, it literally sounded like, you know, he just got elected mayor of Gotham City. I mean, that thing was just over the top. You know, he's like, you know, he's going to start talking about hunting down Bane or something. That was crazy, but we'll see how he does. As far as Bill Belichick goes, you know, I know everybody's talking about, you know, like the Tom Brady watch and where's, you know, Tom going to go and everything like that. But I feel like not enough emphasis is given to, you know, what can happen with Bill. I mean, I don't think he's going to go anywhere, but if he ever was, you know, you'd never see it coming. You'd go to bed and wake up the next day and he'd be somewhere else. And I feel like something has to give here. Like, in order for Brady to get, you know, the money and the security he's looking for, which, I mean, people talk about, you know, $20 million, $25 million. I mean, that's a lot of money to us. But for him, I mean, the difference is like, you know, pocket change. I mean, he's loaded. But, you know, if he does get what he wants, you know, the big contract, maybe, you know, weapons around him, you know, it's not necessarily kind of the direction Bill wants to go in. And so if it does kind of come down to it and Robert steps in, you know, for the second time here and it rubs Bill the wrong way, you know, I know Brady's probably not comfortable retiring on this pretty sour note this year, given how important, you know, performance is to him. But how do you think Bill would feel if he just kind of got set up with, you know, Bill, Robert stepping in? And do you think there's any chance Bill might just kind of call it a day here and kind of walk off? What do you guys think?
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a little bit of fear of that. And I think that definitely ownership doesn't want to step on his toes in this decision or in this situation. And I would sort of, this is how I would couch it. You know, it has to be one where it's like the Antonio Brown decision at the end, which I feel like that was portrayed as a unanimous decision, even though Bill Belichick went to the podium earlier that day and then put Antonio Brown on the practice field and then they released him later in the day. I just think that was one that Bill had to be talked into. You'll never convince me otherwise. I've been told otherwise. I don't agree. I don't believe it. I think if it were up to Bill and just Bill, Antonio Brown would have stuck around. So I think it's sort of the same thing where, but they presented this united front at the end that it was,
that was a crook.
And that's sort of what it's going to have to be with the Brady thing. But it is interesting, you know, and no one knows with Bill's contract. I mean, you hear rumors, you know, I think most people think he has 2 years left, but I don't think, and no one really knows. Yeah. I mean, it'd be easier to get the nuclear codes than Belichick's contract.
Yeah. But the more I think about it though, Chris, like as it feels like, you know, the way that you write it,
yeah,
that Brady, in a way, might be cornered by his own inability to want to change, you know? Like,
yeah.
So he's cornered.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, the more I think about it, like, I don't know, Bill's kind of cornered, too, because you know that he wants to beat that Shula record for wins.
That's true.
And where does he have the best chance to win? Here. And, yeah, he could probably do it just about anywhere else, but there's some real, you know, dregs in the league. Like, in a way, he's kind of cornered, too. Like, what are you going to do? Like,
yeah, like, if he were, if Bill were going to leave, like, a perfect job would have been, like, that Cowboys job. You know, if he could sort of talk Jerry Jones into not being Jerry Jones. But, I mean, that's a team that's built to win now. Most times when a team is changing coaches, it's because they're starting over or they're at the bottom. There are exceptions. You know, the Lions moved on from Jim Caldwell after a 9-7 season. We've seen how well that's worked out.
Yeah.
But most of the time, you're moving on because the team's not good enough and they need sort of a fresh start. So I agree with you on that in terms of Bill.
Alan in Foxborough on Tom Brady's future. Hello, you're next here on Gasper Murray. Hey, Alan.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good, what's up?
Good.
Not much. So, you know, this year was tough for Tom, and I'm sure there's a multitude of reasons, and Chris, you know better than I, but I was just thinking if part of Tom staying around could be that he would take this next guy, this next quarterback, and kind of show him the Jedi way, so to speak. You know, is that something that Bill or Mr. Kraft would pull into a meeting and have be part of the negotiations? Like, yeah, Tom, here you go. Here's a couple more years, but part of this is when we're bringing in this new guy, whether it's Stidham or guy like Jake Fromm, who has a lot of talent, maybe in the second round.
Yeah,
is part of that conversation. Like, all right, Tom, here's 2 years, but with at least one of those years, I want to see you pour into this new quarterback and show him your way, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, or it could be showing up at OTAs. I mean, I think there could be some give and take there. I think most of the guys that have quarterbacked under Tom have had pretty good relationships with him. Matt Cassel, he's still friends with Brissett. Even Jimmy G, I think that relationship, even though, I think Tom was wildly competitive in that 1 year, the Deflategate suspension year. So what was that, 16? They had like some scrimmage in training camp, and it was like Jimmy's team versus Tom's team. He played that thing like it was the Super Bowl. But,
I wonder why.
It's just, but they still have a good relationship. But, yeah, that could be part of it. It's interesting. I think it's interesting.
He doesn't want to be like a coach. He don't want to be coaching up some kid.
No, but I think that he could maybe do a little bit better job. You know what's really interesting, though, off his call? Because he brought up Fromm just real quick. I think we'll learn a lot about how the Patriots feel about Stidham, the way they treat this draft, whether Brady's here or not. If they think Stidham's the guy one way or the other, then you would say, okay, then they're not going to be in a rush to use a pick on a quarterback in the first, four rounds or so.
You watch a fair amount of college football. You like him? Because I kind of do.
I like Fromm.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, there are times I think he could be a little more daring, but I think he can play in the league. That's the interesting thing. We're talking about all the quarterbacks and all this stuff, and obviously Mahomes and Watson and, our first-round picks. But remember, Rodgers dropped so much in the draft his year with Alex Smith. And then you're looking at a guy like Russell Wilson was a third-round pick. Kirk Cousins was a fourth-round pick. Jimmy G was a second round. You can find quarterbacks outside of the first round.
Yeah, I like the kid. He's got moxie. Right?
Yeah, that's a good word.
That primetime game they played against Notre Dame, he pulled him back into that game. He's kind of accurate, stands in the pocket. Like, he's game manager-ish.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But his kids get stones.
He does.
I don't mind Jake Fromm.
He does. No, I don't mind him either.
Let's go to Joe in Boston with a thought on Bill Belichick. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Good.
No, I just want to talk about Bill, the GM. I agree. He's definitely had some questionable calls over the years. But don't you feel like if he wanted to make the big moves that he wanted to make, then they'd be in a better situation if he was able to, trade Gronk and keep Jimmy? And he's almost kind of being a GM with, one arm tied behind his back, essentially. If he's kind of being, overruled.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I mean, if he had made the decision to trade Gronk, then they don't win the Super Bowl last year, right? I mean, because that's what would have that was the season he tried to trade him, and there's no way they're winning that without him. So, but the Garoppolo thing, I think that's one where you can look at it, and I think Bill definitely has a leg to stand on there. He identified that guy. He developed him. He's turned into a really good quarterback. The one thing I'll say, though, is there is this sort of perception, and I think Felger fuels this, that, like, any sort of, like Belichick could take T.J. Yates and win 10 games. And I just don't think that's true. I think you look at the quarterbacks other than Brady that he's won with. Vinny Testaverde was a borderline Pro Bowl quarterback or made Pro Bowls. Matt Cassel left New England and made a Pro Bowl and took Kansas City to the playoffs. So kudos to Bill for identifying those guys, but it's not like he just took Flotsam and Jetsam and like made it work. Like it turned out, Jimmy G is pretty good and can actually play. He won one game with Brissett against Houston, and then they got shut out the next week against the Bills, and the jury's still out on Brissett. So there's sort of this idea that he could take like Rohan Davey or Ryan Mallett and win 10 games. No, not even Belichick can do that.
Thank you. I needed to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just absurd. I mean, I just don't understand where that comes from.
10-6, Murray. They're winning the division with Stidham. Yeah, Stidham, I mean, maybe he's the guy. He was a fourth-round pick. He had not his last year at Auburn, but a couple years before.
The year before he was
wins
really
over Georgia. The wins over Alabama. Sucked in that SEC championship game, but still, can also look like he has some stones.
Skittish his senior year, but I'll use this term. I know we mock it with Mayock, but like Stidham legitimately had first round arm talent. He was a big time recruit, and he just had a disappointing sort of final year at Auburn. Like the talent was there.
strikes me as more of like a mobile Brian Hoyer, but yeah, 10-6, 11-5, winning the division. Like, you know, Buffalo's not better, and I get it. Their quarterback is a disaster, but that team's pretty good and well coached. Come on. Josh and Bill Ricco and Tom Brady. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Chris, what's going on?
Nothing much.
If they sign Brady, it makes him instantly a serious contender in the AFC for the Super Bowl. So it's kind of like a no-brainer to sign Brady. That way, you know, they can groom Stidham or whoever else they have coming up the line, right? And if it was about the money and not the – it's about the years to me, because Brady wouldn't have taken the one-year franchise tag. Like, that's like a $35 million deal, right,
yeah,
for 1 year?
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point.
Right, so – Why would he demand no $35 million 1 year deal?
He wanted some control. He wanted some autonomy, and I still wouldn't put it past, you know, Tom to try and generate some leverage here. And the one thing I can say, it's an interesting situation with this, because if the contract voids, Jim, and they get to the 18th, then the Patriots are left with $13.5 million of salary cap baggage from these ghost years they put on this adjustment they did for him this year to add the $8 million to keep that cap hit lower. They added these, I call them ghost years, mm-hmm. that void would make Brady a free agent. But my understanding is, even if it gets to that point, that doesn't preclude them from signing. In other words, they wouldn't just say, oh, we're out because we have the salary cap charge now. They still would negotiate with him and basically, you know, pay him twice from a salary cap standpoint. So it would be possible, is my point, for Brady to make it to market, get a deal, and bring it back to the Patriots and try and leverage it.
We'll go to Josh in Marshfield. Wants to talk about the possibility of a future quarterback for the Patriots. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
I was just kind of wondering, so now that they got the 23rd pick, you know, obviously they're used to having a lower pick. Does that change, you know, like what they're going to do? Are they going to go for a lineman? Are they going to go for maybe a future quarterback?
Thanks for the call, Josh. I saw one mock already that had the Notre Dame tight end going to them at 23. Historically at 23, they've been pretty successful throughout this team's history. I think it was Bruce Armstrong, Ty Law, and Isaiah Wynn.
Isaiah Wynn's good. He can play.
He's all right.
You don't like Isaiah Wynn?
We'll see. Can he stay healthy?
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know, but who knows? Given this team's history, too, and Belichick and the way he's handled these types of things before, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he takes that 23rd pick overall and turns it into, like, three-thirds.
Well, especially because, you know, look, they don't have a second-round pick, so...
Right. Don't they have a second-round pick again? Can someone remind me?
They traded it for Sanu.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Which I give Bill credit for in that he was trying to help, you know, Tom.
Hey, Tom, Brady's just as responsible
for that
terrible
move as well.
Brady's
just as complicit in that. I mean, they gave him a choice, and he picked the wrong guy. So Tom has to wear that one.
Holy cow. But here's another thing, too. Why did he think he was going to be able to use him as a punt returner? That's one of the sneaky, underrated, terrible moves by Bill Belichick, the GM, this year. A guy who cares this much about special teams and overpays special teams players. Can you believe he left himself essentially without a punt returner? I know it was supposed to be Gunnar Olszewski, but even when he was out there before he got hurt, he was okay.
Man, I've never seen anybody run into hits the way that guy did. I mean, it's like he had a GPS that was just like, who's the guy that's going to crush me the most?
For someone who stresses the importance of special teams as much as Bill Belichick did, he left himself without a punt returner when points were at such a premium, and he knew that they would be this year, so much so that he drafted a punter, who also sucked last week, by the way, and was one of the worst players on the field for the Patriots.
Ooh, there goes that fan anger.
That's one of the sneaky, underrated bad moves about Bill Belichick this year. And he thought Mohamed Sanu could do it when he had only done it one time in his career before
he
came here.
Yeah, and then he hurt himself with the high ankle sprain in a year where he was already sort of struggling to get separation. Here's another like second guess just real quick, just given what Olszewski gave you and what ended up happening. How about basically Gunnar Olszewski on the roster over Demaryius Thomas?
Oh, yeah, no, that was another one, too. Ugh. But here we are, divisional weekend without the Patriots. Enjoy it, guys. It's going
to
be...
it's a nice day to go for a bike ride or a run.
60 degrees. This is what you
hoops.
Rather than pre-gaming, shotgun and Bud Lights, getting ready to get all lubed up for what should have been the divisional round at home, but nope, lose to Miami. No, not even playing in Kansas City tomorrow because you lose last week to the wild card Tennessee
Titans.
Can
I just say quickly, I am so happy, even though I like the city and I like their food, oh my God, am I thrilled I don't have to fly to Kansas City.
Oh, what a pain in the ass.
What a nightmare to get to that. It's like trying to get to the moon.
There's like one direct flight, right? And it's like the most inconvenient time.
It's
otherwise,
brutal.
Well, first you have to fly to Charlotte to go to Kansas City. Oh, you know.
Last year I had to fly to Denver and then fly back. Yeah, it was brutal.
Make a lick of sense. All right, enough of the sports conversation for now. We will get to five questions for Chris Gass. We've got nothing to do with sports next as we wrap up.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Wrap up each and every week as long as we have the time, and I guess we haven't had the time in almost like 2 months, but here we go. Five questions for Chris Casper that got nothing to do with sports. Before we wrap, though, I want to give you a heads up, though, about Touch and Rich Pucks and Paddles. Touch and Rich 98.5 Sports Hub and the Boston Bruins present Pucks and Paddles Friday, January 17th at Royale, the annual ping pong tournament that benefits the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. Continue bidding to play with any Bruins player or with Toucher and Rich until this Monday at 2 in the afternoon, so time is running out. Go bid 98.5thesportshub.com. Pucks and Paddles, presented by Coors Light and sponsored by Honda ACP Facility Services in Clear Path for Veterans of New England. All right, question number one, Chris. Have you ever gone behind someone's back, someone else, your wife, someone, and checked their text messages? Are you a sneak?
No, I've never done that. Should I have?
No, she's up to no good. She's up to no good.
I've never done that, no.
I've never done it with text. I've done it inadvertently with emails before. A job I used to have at New Hampshire Rock Radio, Rock 101. One of the worst radio jobs I ever had. I knew my boss hated me. A PD I used to refer to as Toothy McGee. Just millions of teeth. The idiot was on one day because our midday girl was out, and he forgot to close his email. And I was like, "Oh, let me snoop through his email," and that's how I found out I was going to get fired.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah, it was an imminent firing. It was all like these resumes he had been sent for afternoons. I was like, "Oh, someone's getting canned." And sure enough, a month later, I was out the door.
You didn't just like quit, pull like a Michael Scott or whatever?
No, because I wanted to get my contract paid off, and if I got fired for cause or anything like that, if I blew it up, I wasn't going to get that sweet, sweet money, and I wouldn't be able to collect unemployment, which I did.
Oh wow.
Question number two. Are you overdramatic about being sick, or do you suck it up and deal with it?
Oh, that's a good question. I feel like I suck it up and deal with it. I mean, unless
you?
It's like, you don't think so?
Yeah, I have my doubts.
Thanks, Jim. What do you mean? I mean, I'll complain about it, but I'm still going to show up and do my job.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's
I mean, anybody who listened to Patriots pregame for about the first 3 weeks of the season knew that I, like, essentially had no voice and sounded like crap on the air.
Question number three, either personally or professionally, Chris Casper, what are you looking forward to in 2020?
Oh, that is a great question. Well, I mean, professionally, I'm looking forward to some growth opportunities. I would say personally, probably traveling. I always enjoy traveling. Maybe another trip to Europe, like to go to South America.
Oh, look at you fancy know. Boy. Yeah, those are good goals. My resolution is the same year in, year out, or at least it has been for like the last 10 years, and that's just not to die. Like, don't get
that's
sick
a good
and
one.
Don't die. Like, that's my resolution.
My real resolution is to try and find some way to reverse the graying of my hair and my beard.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Trying to beat Father Time.
I
another
might have
one
to start the dying.
The kid needs voiceover work. I got dumped by Pandora. I don't get any side work doing voiceovers anymore. You got a business out there? Hit me up. Find me on Twitter. I need money, damn it. That's my goal for 2020.
Well, you keep buying those rag and bone sweaters. You will need money.
Question number four. Do you believe that found money is cursed, or do you pick it up and use it on yourself? In other words, if you found a 20 on the ground, is that now Gasper money to use towards fancy clothes and not paying for parking? Or do you pay it forward and give it to some bum?
I would probably retain that money. I do always look around. I can tell you once, this happened to me in the South End, I found somebody's wallet.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, I couldn't identify them. There wasn't like identification in it. And I actually called their place of work and said, "Hello, it said where they worked." I said, "I found this wallet, blah, blah, blah." Anyways, the person ended up coming down and picked up the wallet. And didn't even give me a thank you.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's cold.
And I don't mean money. I was fine. I didn't need money. But it wasn't even like... Like, the person was essentially super suspicious, almost like I'd stolen their wallet, and was, like, checking it like I'd taken something out of it.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah, you find cash, it's yours. But if you find anything with identification on it, or a wallet, and there's some thing you can find to find... I mean, obviously, find the person and give it back. Don't be a
complete
a
ID, but there wasn't, like, a driver's license, so I had to... It was, like, a work card or something. I felt like I'd done a really good thing, and it was just kind of like, oh, great, my wallet...
You should have licked the wallet first before you gave it back to that jerk. Final question. If 60-degree winter days like today and tomorrow, Chris, are a sign of what's to come from global warming, you okay with it?
No, we're all doomed. You know my theory? I know we're running out of time here, but, you know, the Earth is not just this inanimate thing. I think it's a living organism, and it's starting to fight back against us, the humans that are destroying it. And so now it's trying to flip the seasons on us, hoping we'll just die.
And I agree with that. And to that I say, we, the scourge of this planet, have what's coming. Whatever's coming, it's what we deserve.
So this means, so you're just okay with it? Or if you knew this were coming, would you commit to more than one bag?
No.
If you knew this were imminent.
It's too late.
If just you, yourself, using more than one bag could change this.
Well, I know that's not the case.
Hypothetically, though, if you could, would you?
Sure, Chris. But that's not the case. So I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, and I'll enjoy these 60-degree days, knowing that we're all doomed.
Jim Murray's everywhere, convincing the planet to kill us all off. Thanks, Jim.
And so, I will say, though, the koalas, the burned koala, I can't. Like, it kills me. Those photos absolutely gut me, enough so that I got off my ass and, like, donated. Like, I can't see the burnt koalas. It's making me crazy. Like, it's horrible that the burnt koalas in Australia. My God. Like, give money to Australia. But it's weird, though, because I know how that's how I know I'm broken inside, because you could show me, like, horrible things that happen to humans, and I just shrug. Burnt koalas, though, oh, it kills me. That'll do it for Gaspar Murray for today. For Chris Gaspar, it's Jim Murray. I want to thank Brian Robb, a producer as well. Read his work at bostonsportsjournal.com. We've got Arcan and McCarthy coming up next. In fact, McCarthy will start off with the headlines. Enjoy that. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.